Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Jared Dyson. He's the Managing Director of Spectre. Now, who are Spectre? Well, they are security, safety, and warning technology provider, and doing a lot of things since I last spoke to you about 3 months ago, I think it was. Jared, welcome back to Small Caps. Good to see you.
Nice to see you as well, Kerry, and always a pleasure having a conversation.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And I forgot to say the ASX code, ladies and gentlemen, is SP number three. It's the ASX code. Now, Jared, last time we spoke about Spectre itself. Just before I get into what the latest deal is, who are Spectre, just for those that may have missed that conversation?
Thanks, Kerry. Well, Spectre, we provide solutions to customers in security, safety, warning, and some other things as well, which we're adding on around communications and sensing. And we are a company that includes a technology hardware platform that's integrated with a software system as well, both a cloud-based firmware and an app-based software system. And together, we're able to solve problems that typically outdoors, because they're all solar-powered, using our unique sensing, thinking, and acting platforms.
I love it. Sensing, thinking, and acting, something that we all should do a little bit more of.
Yes.
Now, the reason I wanted to chat to you today is you have just done a deal with Optus, which is interesting, and I'd like you to share with all of us what that means to the company, what the deal is, what the terms are, and how that impacts on Spectre itself.
Yeah, no, it's great. We're very pleased about it, and it's taken a little while. It's an overnight success that took us about 18 months to get to. If you just look at it from a pure numbers point of view, that single contract was signed is more than 20% of our revenue for financial year 21. So it's a big deal for us as an organization. We have been working with Optus for more than 12 months, but the nature of what we do is that customers don't always like to discuss the detail of what we're doing for them for a while, and it's really only been when the materiality of this recent contract was signed that we were able to share that with the market in a particular way.
So you have to get all the groundwork done and all the behind the scenes and all the testing before you can actually even mention to anybody what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Optus as a typical large institutional customer that we are working for, is often, they're quite, and utilities are very similar. This is how they work. They tend to be quite conservative organizations, and so they will investigate and they'll do some trials and some testing, and then they'll start at a small scale and then they'll add a few and then they'll want to change this. And so this has very much been a journey of growing with this particular customer and working with them to optimize the solution for their assets. And I think now we've achieved a position where we have a solution that provides a very good return on investment for them, and they've created a 5-year master services agreement contract, framework agreement for us to operate in. And the first phase of that 5-year agreement, they've given us this 2-year scope of work. And the first part of the 2-year scope of work, we've got another 63 systems that we're putting in for their assets.
Just explain to our listeners, what are the systems that you're putting in for Optus? What do they do, and why do Optus need them?
So the application that we're providing with Optus is a security-based application and a general surveillance as well. So all of our systems are solar-powered and completely wireless, which means that when we're putting them around an asset, which in most of these cases is mobile phone towers, is that we're able to set them up so they're completely separate from the existing infrastructure. This means no need for wiring or trenching or cabling or interfaces with the existing infrastructure. So it operates separately. That means it's much quicker to get permission It doesn't need to integrate with the existing power systems. It's safer. It's just simpler and easier for a large company. So we have these separate solar-powered camera-based platforms. And what they do is they act as a virtual security guard. And so they're watching.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jared. It never occurred to me that a tower would need a security guard. Just never occurred to me.
Yeah, so I mean, it's an interesting question, and it's not perhaps so obvious. There's probably two main reasons why the mobile phone towers tend to need protection. The first is theft. Some of these towers do have high value elements to them, whether it's like batteries or copper. And if they're in remote locations, they can be, areas of interest. And the other one is, you tend to have your aluminium foil hat brigade that don't like 5G. And so that's the other reason. And there is certainly plenty of evidence. You can go through the news quite recently in East Gippsland, I believe there was a tower that went down recently because vandals came in and took bolts out of it, two of the three legs, and the wind blew it down. Wow. There was others that they'd done this to as well. And then there's obviously theft as well. And given that these are critical national infrastructure, the importance of not just catching a criminal, but stopping them. And that's what our systems do that are different from CCTV.
And you know what? I'm really pleased that you're doing this. And I'll tell you why. What these people don't realise is without communications, your elderly mother that's sitting in a nursing home that has a fall and needs help can't communicate with anyone. So think about that. Not that I'm telling any of my community that you would do this because you're fabulous. But if any of you dodgy ones out there are listening, seriously, that's the bigger picture, isn't it?
Because it's communication. You're right, Kerry, and that's a big part of what we're trying to do at Spectre is make our community safer. We certainly have a lot of work that we're doing separately around safety and warning systems on beaches and other areas as well. But certainly security and reducing the frequency of crime and the implications of crime has a huge impact on our communities. And our systems are able to identify when a person or a vehicle is in a space using artificial intelligence and then physically speak to them and warn them in the moment, as well as sending alerts via the internet to people. That stops crime happening. It doesn't just record it. People, when they're lit up and they're spoken to and it's all done by computers, they stop what they're doing. And so that makes a tremendous impact.
Jared, this deal with Optus, before we get into the numbers and the impact on the business, and I hope you can talk numbers, prior to this, has this made a difference, I guess, in the direction of the company? I mean, prior to this, was it more smaller, I don't like to say mum and pop, but was it smaller sort of private enterprise security, and this is getting more into the bigger institutional industrial? Is this a change of direction for the company?
Well, I think this is an overnight change of direction that we've been at for 2 years.
Right.
If you look at where Spectre came from, it was very much around solar-powered security for the building and construction space. And we still service that market, and I believe that we do have the premier offering in that space, really from a point of view of AI and reduction in false alarms and performance and the number of systems. There's no one that touches us. But not every problem requires a very complicated answer or a very sophisticated solution to it. So we do see other people in that space. So what we've done is we've increasingly focused a lot more of our technology development and our sales effort outbound on the customers that we want to have in the future. And they are institutional type customers that value the premium offering and the service that we provide and the optimized solutions and the performance that we have. And so we've unashamedly been targeting utilities. I've spoken about it for a number of years, government and pseudo-government type organisations and other similar sorts of institutions. And that's, Optus is a great example of it, but you see that also in some of the government departments that we're in, both local government and state. Surf Life Saving has been another example of an institutional type organisation.
What are you doing for Surf Life Saving?
So Surf Life Saving New South Wales and Surf Life Saving WA, both great customers for us. We provide safety and warning platforms. These are used for warning people of sharks, They're used for shutting beaches. We have digital signboards.
Hang on a second. How do you warn people about sharks? What, have you got a camera, got a drone, or what's the...
Well, they're not shark detectors. We have other people do that. So, for example, tag sharks. If they go near a sensor, they are connected to the internet. We can take that information and then we can use that to set off a warning. Or if people can see a shark, when the smart drumline trials were on, we were connected to those too. But there's lots of different ways you can get that information. And then from our platforms, we have loudspeakers that tell people to get out of the water and you can hear them hundreds of meters offshore. Or we have flashing lights. And in some of our models, we have a VoIP phone, so with video. So say you got your arm bitten off, you can run up the beach. And with your good arm, you can press the button and get a first responder straight away. And also we have signboards that are digital signboards, and these will be deployed very soon. Can't say too much about that yet, but in Western Australia. And these allow us to put any message up, beach closed, rip in the area, socially distanced, whatever you like, and do that fully remotely and have those signs work 24/7 from a fully solar powered platform.
But other people do digital signs, don't they? What's different about
it? Not like this. So the difference is if you've got a trailer on the side of the road trying to say people road work ahead, those signs don't have to operate 24 hours because they've either got huge battery banks that they top up, or they flash them off and on, or they just use them for a short period of time. Our systems are designed to run on a very small solar panel for 24 hours and all through the night, and be bright enough to be seen at quite some distance. The other difference is that our systems are fully programmable remotely, whereas most of the ones you see by the side of the road, you've got to go out there with your thumb drive and change your card over.
Oh, is that right?
So we've made it fully integrated. So these signboards from one app, one web application, you've got your camera of the beach, you've got your VoIP phone, you've got your signboard, it's all in one space. And they're all on the same platform, all off the same solar panel. It's that frugal power and data that we do that no one else does.
That was going to be my next question. As an investor, have you got IP around this? Is this protected technology that no one else can replicate?
So we in our history, we have got a number of patents as a company, but we've found that it's more effective to just continue to innovate and continue to push out our technology. Hardware, which is part of our business as well as software, has a development cycle and has a capital intensity that tends to take a lot of people out from that space. We have far fewer competitors than if we were a pure software company. Right. That space is quite easy to, bootstrap and get up and running and scale. But hardware is hard. I think might have put the hard in there. And because of that, we've got fewer competitors. And because we're so focused on what we do, we just don't see a lot of competition in that space. Is hard. We've got more than 20 million hours practice. So
there you go. Let's talk about the numbers and the revenues around Optus. Are you able to share that with us?
I can say what we've published, which is, it's a $1.07 million contract. Because they wrapped up the work we'd done for them over the last 12 months as well. There was a portion of it, I think about $230,000 of revenue that we'd already recognised. That represented about 49 systems that we'd installed prior to the announcement. We're in the process of deploying another 63 over the next couple of months, and that's to get through the current little phase of the first part of the scope of work. Then there's a balance of that scope of work, and then there's a balance of the MSA after that. So without wanting to, presuppose what might happen in the future, is we have a set of framework arrangements that have been set up to allow us to support Optus over the next 5 years. As you can imagine, we're probably talking to other utility providers as well.
That,
and it's possible we might even be working for some, but just not at a level that we're able to announce just yet or at a scale of doing that. And so, at such time as that would change, we would be very happy to talk about that some more.
Okay, so Jared, from an investor's point of view, right, the share price has been pretty much around the same for a little while now. What do you think is going to do? Do you think that this awarding of the Optus contract is going to just say to people, "All right, they've clearly got something others don't have"? I mean, I'm just trying to pinpoint down to the value proposition for investors at this time?
Good, because I got to separate two things. So our share price seems to not necessarily bear a lot of linkage to what we're actually doing as a company. So I don't know why it does what it does, which we can come back to that bit. But in terms of what why someone should be excited to be in Spectre right now is I think we've just had, you know, a landmark contract for us, because it's not just $1 million, which is a big deal for us, but it's the fact that we're working, we've demonstrated that we can provide a technology solution to a tier one utility provider, which is a conservative type of customer, and provide that sort of solution. And it's not just the technology, to even just go through the contractual process that's required to get into that position shows, I think, demonstrates the maturity of Spectre as an organization, which really sets it apart from other people that play in this space as well. And given we've had this focus for a couple of years now and really trying to move towards these institutional type customers, and this is, you know, I guess one of the, signature examples of that, we have a pipeline that has others in it too. And, we started out about 2 years ago on our outbound sales initiative. And some of these sales cycles are 12 and 15 and 18 months long. And that's just to start the small bit. And what we're starting to see is these things coming through. So things to get excited about is we're starting to see the fruit of these relationships. So they'd always start with 1 and 2 and 5 and 10 and 49 and then 63 and then. And then all, the other part of it is, you know, there are more customers that look like that in that space. So that's a bit of a tipping point for us. And then I think the other things that are exciting going forward is our broadening into safety and warning.
Is that the surf life saving style?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the ability to provide, at the moment, we can provide a smart digital signboard and a two-way VoIP phone and a camera system, all fully connected with AI. We're also able to count people on the beaches now using a third-party AI provider. So how many people are using it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a couple of things there. You know, with the voice warning system on a beach, do you also have the camera watching that nobody steals the VoIP phone and the...
So we can do all of those things. You know, that's what we're trying to move towards with Kerry, is being a platform. And we're a solution company now, but as they do more and more things, then it starts to be a platform that solves other problems. I mean, right now we can tell from these platforms, are people social distancing, for example, using AI? You know, what's the times of the day that people come to the beach and how many people are there? Where do they travel on the beach?
Oh, God, it's your big brothers watching you, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I wouldn't look at it like that. I would look at it in the terms of, if I'm a local council and I want to know how many times should I be emptying the bins, well, I know what times of the day people are at the beach. And you know, if I need to bring lifeguards down, well, why have I got the lifeguard from 9 till 4 when the surfers are all here from 6 till 5? Or, you know, so there's ways that really add value and improve the community. And it's not a person. That's the thing, is you've got no one looking at this data. Now, you can look at this as good or bad, but it's all being done with artificial intelligence, both edge and cloud-based AI. And what comes out the end is this little histogram that shows the times when people come to and from the beach. And you can imagine, you scrape that data with meteorological data, wind speed, sea state, temperature, and then you correlate them together. And now you can start doing predictive analytics. You know, on Friday, it's going to be 27 degrees and a 2 meter swell. How many people will be at the beach? I can manage my staffing for that now. And so this is where these platforms become very powerful. And we're even looking at putting smart boxes in. So again, you're on the beach, if you use a beach example, let's say I'm down the beach and I've tried to swim 2 kilometers, which I haven't done for ages, and I've decided I'm going to have a small heart attack. I drag myself up the beach, I'm lying on the sand, someone goes up to the system, presses a button, they're straight through to a first responder they can talk to, and then they press a button, and then the box on the side of the pole opens up the defibrillator.
Oh.
And take that away. And so then I can get defibrillated or a first aid kit. And I can store all that information and all of that stuff out in the middle of absolutely anywhere, because it's all solar powered and unwired. But it's not just a box that people can steal tomorrow. It's all locked, and it can only be controlled through the internet, and which will only be done when someone's having a conversation. So that's what we can do. When we talk about sensing, thinking, and acting, acting is really powerful too, and all off one solar platform.
Okay, we're running out of time. I want to know growth for 22.
We're going to grow to 22. We don't provide guidance because, you know, I've been burned a few times with COVIDs and extra lockdowns, and now we've got Omicrons and or whatever they're called.
Yep.
So, you know, we're certainly, well, I can say we were well up in Q1 on what we were in the Q1 before. And I probably can't say any more than that because I haven't, you know, more formally done that. So I think people can absolutely expect continued growth from Spectre. We have a unique position. We've got a unique platform that provides a lot of value in making our community safer.
Okay, one last question. We've talked about Optus. We've talked about the telecommunications area. We've talked about surf lifesaving. Are there other sectors that you're looking at for expansion in 22?
So we've tried to be kind of tight in our sectors, and I don't see us changing that a lot. I think geographically, you know, about this time last year, we announced the formation of a new joint venture in New Zealand.
Yep.
And whilst I don't want to say too much about it now, when the year's nearly up, I think probably early next year, we'll give people an update on the success that we've had in getting Spectre New Zealand running with our joint venture partner. I think that as our technology platform matures, and certainly with the Star 7, which is coming in the next year, is we'll have a platform that is more easily, it's simpler, easier to set up and the like. It could more easily go through other resellers that might or might not be in our main centres that we're in right now. So whether it's regional Australia or other locations or even potentially other overseas locations, our ability to push our product through other channels that we don't own that don't require the same capital intensity as what we're doing right now, I think that really offers a pretty exciting opportunity for growth there from that point of view as well.
Three reasons why investors should be sitting up and taking a good look at Spectre right now. Only three.
Okay. No one does what we do. So we're either geniuses or we're fools. I think that we've got something special. We solve a very high value set of problems. You know, we're very focused on you know, making a difference to our communities in ways that are of value. Third reason, you should have asked me this one before. I think they're two very good reasons right now. Third reason, I think we're horribly undervalued. Shareholder would say that too. And we've got growth in front of us. I mean, this is a very exciting time for us right now. Look, we're a solar powered system, tick, you know, doing AI and the Internet of Things, you know, making solutions to high value problems. And we don't have a lot of competition in the space that we want to be in. It's, you know, lots of barriers to entry, lots of opportunity, lots of market potential. I'm Spectre. I've put all the money in Spectre that I have in is I've bought shares on market itself.
I believe
in this company. And, you know, I encourage others to do the same too.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I've often said people and projects and growth, and you heard it from the boss man himself. He's bought on market. So he has an investment in the company and he wants to see growth and value back to shareholders, which at the end of the day is what it's all about. I wish you all the best. Safety, security and warning systems across Australia and potentially the rest of the world going forward. Jared Dyson, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thank you, Kerry. Have a great day.